Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I hope everybody's doing well. I am doing well. I have my amazing cup of coffee right here. I just want to give a shout out to our amazing coffee team and our baristas. Come on, let's give them a hand. Let me tell you, from one self-admitted coffee addict, this is great coffee. I kid you not. If you have never tried our coffee before, I encourage you after the gathering today to try. If you're new, you get your free ticket to free coffee. Why not? Go give it a shout. Give it a shot, all right? Hey, before I continue today, a quick reminder about next welcome dinner happening tonight. If you are new to our church, we want to get to know you over a simple meal tonight. And little birdies told me that my prayer has been answered. Tonight's meal is going to be Nando's, which is fantastic. The best chicken in the whole wide world. So please come if you are new. Don't forget to register, though, because we want to know how much food to prepare. And the purpose of this welcome dinner is to not only welcome you to our new to your new church family, and for those of you who are exploring, maybe you're wanting to find out if this could be your church home, we want you to come and ask questions. We will do a very short presentation, maybe 10 minutes or so, maybe less. And I'll be there, I'll be speaking, and we want to tell you about who we are, and we want you to ask questions if you have any questions about us, and definitely we want to get to know you a little bit better. Obligation free, it's not a membership class. You can come to the dinner and never be seen again. That's totally fine as well, all right? So please make sure you sign up at therocks.info, or after the gathering today, you can actually go to our friendly host outside who can tell you more about it if you need help registering. All right. I want to begin today by introducing you to this man. His name is Sir Edmund Hillary. He is a world-renowned mountaineer. In 1953, he was credited to be the first person who successfully reached the peak, the summit of Mount Everest. But Sir Edmund Hillary was not only known for his mountaineering expertise, but he's also an explorer and a very well-known philanthropist as well. He helped raise the awareness for the Nepalese people, helped build orphanages, schools, and he's just a fantastic guy all around. A story was told about Sir Edmund Hillary. He was visiting the Himalayas, and a bunch of tourists who recognized him wanted to take some photos with Sir Edmund Hillary, to which he gladly obliged. So this bunch of tourists were crowding around him, and they also told him to hold this ice axe that people use to climb mountains. So Sir Edmund Hillary obliged again by holding this ice axe, and as they were about to take this photo, another climber tourist saw what they were doing and approached them, not recognizing who Sir Edmund Hillary was, and he proceeded to tell Sir Edmund Hillary that, hey, you're holding the ice axe wrong, and proceeded to fix him and tell him how to hold the ice axe. And the whole crowd was just gasped, like, who is this guy telling Sir Edmund Hillary how to hold the ice axe? And they were waiting in anticipation how he would respond to such silly suggestion. But Sir Edmund Hillary, with the biggest smile that he could give, he said to the man, thank you very much. That's all. And they proceeded to take the photo. That's why he was so great. The reason, not only because of his expertise in mountaineering and all that, but he's also a very, very humble man. Today, that's exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this forgotten but very powerful virtue of humility. I know it doesn't sound very exciting as we conclude our series. Maybe you think, oh, goodness, you know, I already got this. I am humble. Humility is a funny thing. The moment you think you're humble, you're not. So It's very important for us to know and learn about what it means to be humble, especially nowadays. I believe we live in the age where people are increasingly becoming more and more narcissistic. People are increasingly becoming more and more self-absorbed. And this is the perfect antidote to the time that we live in today. And not only that, in the past decade or so, experts have rediscovered the important connection or relationship between humility and your ability to learn, between humility and leadership, between humility and even mental health. According to this psychologist, Anna Scheffner, she says that humble people actually learn more. And it makes sense, right? Because humble people realize that even though they're an expert in one field, it doesn't mean that they're an expert in every field. See, humble people realize that what they don't know far exceeds what they do know. That's why they learn more. Not only that, but humble people are also better leaders. In his awesome book, Good to Great, Jim Collins wrote about the different levels of leadership. He says, at the highest level of leadership, he calls it the level 5 leaders. All the level 5 leaders exhibit these amazing 2 characteristics. Number 1, they have personal humility and also professional will. In other words, all top level leaders are both hungry and humble at the same time. Think about it. All the leaders that you admire, the great leaders, more likely than not, they are humble leaders. And finally, there's a great relationship as well between humility and mental health. Humble people, they cope better with stresses in life. They cope better with anxieties and hardship that come their way. And as a result, they're physically better. They have better relationship and so on. So we now know that it pays for us to be humble. The question is, what is humility? How can we learn to be humble? Because I believe there's a lot of misunderstanding about this very important virtue that a lot of people actually are confused. They don't even know what humility means. And today, I want to take us out of the shallows into the deep end of understanding of what humility is. And as I learn from the Bible, I actually discover that humility is not one-dimensional. Actually, there are different facets to humility. There are many different dimensions to humility, and right now, we're going to look at them one by one. All right, so if you're taking notes, you're welcome to do so. Number 1, in relation to self, humility is not considering ourselves better than we are. The great Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, in the letter to the Romans, he says this: don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. It's important. So Paul says, don't think that you are better than you are, which makes sense to a lot of us. We know that's the definition of humility. We don't think of ourselves as better than we are. But can I also read it like this? If you should not think of yourselves better than you are, maybe, you shouldn't think of yourself worse than you really are as well. Can I do that? I think I can. You know why? Because in the very next sentence, Paul says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. You gotta be honest. If you are bad, it's okay for you to admit that you're bad at something. But if you are good, it is okay for you to acknowledge and to admit that you are good at certain things in life. You know, you don't have to act embarrassed when people tell you how wonderful you are. You don't have to act embarrassed when people give you compliment. I mean, a lot of people do that, right? I mean, we look at someone with a nice dress and we say, hey, that's a really nice dress. Oh, this old rag. We do that. My mom is really good at doing that. She's good at rejecting compliments. By the way, if you don't know my mom, she's an awesome cook. She's a great cook. But try to give her a compliment. Tell her cooking is nice. She will tell you, no, it's too salty. No, it's too sweet. Like, she will find a way to reject your compliment. I remember one time I overheard my mom having a conversation with her friend, and her friend was actually telling her, this is a true story, her friend was actually telling her that, oh, Daniel, your son is so good. He's a pastor. He's a good speaker. He's such a blessing to a lot of people. And you know what my mom said? No, he's not good. I kid you not. He said, no, he hardly showers. And I go, what? Mom, don't say that. Just accept the compliment. Just say thank you. I also remember one time I was in this church, right? And I was listening to this sermon. It was a great sermon. So at the end of the service, I approached the speaker, the pastor, and I said, you know what? What you said is really, really good. It's something that I really, really needed to hear. So thank you so much. That was a great sermon. You know what he said? Kid you not. He said, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. And I thought to myself, you're not that good. Like, you know, if it was Jesus, I would expect it to be a whole lot better than that. It was great, but not Jesus great. You know what I mean? So again, you don't need to do that. So if you are talented at something, if you're a great singer and somebody give you compliment, oh, that was wonderful singing, don't say, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. You don't have to say that. Just, that's false humility, okay? Humility is not self-depreciation. It's different. I've been in some prayer meetings. Maybe you've been in one of these prayer meetings as well, where the things that they say, man, like the things that people pray for, the things that they say are so depressing. You know, they say like, oh, Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. We are despicably bad. We are so bad. We don't deserve your love. We have worms. Like, I thought to myself, no, I would not put myself in that. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm not a sinner. I'm not saying that at all. And then if you open your eyes, when people pray this way, you open your eyes, you will see people nodding like, mm-hmm, amen, amen. Right? You are not despicably wicked. Paul says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself with the measure of faith that God has given you. You know, by faith, we know that we are loved by God. By faith, we know we are made in the image of God. Can you imagine? By faith, we know that God is for us and not against us. And you don't even have to be a Christian to know this. Just pick any Christian, you know, children's book. And you will know, without knowing any Bible verses, that Jesus is not like that. Now, pick quickly from the internet. When you look at a photo like this, the people around Jesus, the kids are all smiling, the parents are smiling. Do you think these people think of themselves as despicably wicked? You think so? I don't think so. Do you think Jesus was looking at them thinking that how despicably wicked all of you are? No. Definitely not, all right? So don't think of yourself that way. That is not humility, all right? So I disagree with that. But at the same time, I also disagree with the very out-of-place self-esteem movement going on right now all over the world where our children are being told that you are special. You can do anything you want in your life. You're good and you are special. You're wonderful. To me, yeah, I encourage my son, Jaden, that way as well. I believe we need to be the biggest supporter in life. But you also have to prepare your children, and you have to be realistic, about expectation as well, you know. Don't make them think too highly of themselves. My son, Jaden, just picked up basketball this year or late last year. Like, right now, he really thinks he can play in the NBA. And I told him, son, you're not going to the NBA. You're barely the best player in your C-grade team in your league right now. I'm just being realistic. I'm not a dream crusher, but you know what I mean? I don't agree with that either. So what do? We seem to have this dilemma of how we should view ourselves, and this is where we go wrong. This amazing writer by the name of Daniel Kent, he said this, that humility is actually not the opposite of pride. You know what is the opposite of pride? Shame is the opposite of pride. And if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, you will see that the opposite of pride is not humility, but shame. What is shame? Shame is thinking of yourself less than who you really are. Shame is when you set expectation for yourself and you fail to meet that expectation. You know, you expect yourself to be skinny and you're not, so you're ashamed. You expect to be successful, but you're not, so you're ashamed. You expect to be the best husband or whatever it is that you think you should be, but you fail to meet that expectation, your own expectation, and you are ashamed. That's just as bad as pride, right? And humility, according to Paul, is the ability for you to look at yourself honestly. Acknowledge that you are made in God's image, that you are creative, because our God is a creative God. Acknowledge that you have a wonderful purpose in this world, that God has a wonderful plan for you. But you also acknowledge that you're not perfect. You acknowledge that you can't do everything. So humility is not looking at yourself better than you are, but also not worse than you are. So that's the first dimension of humility. But there's a second element, if you like. There's a second dimension to humility. If we have looked at humility in relation to self, the second dimension is humility in relation to other people. So in relation to others, humility is considering others more important than you are. All right? Notice, I didn't say considering others better than you are. Maybe you are better than some people. Maybe you are more educated than some people. Maybe you have more talents than some people. I'm not asking you to self-depreciate yourself and you know, lower yourself in such a way that you, in order to make sure that other people are lifted up. I'm not asking you to do that, all right? Maybe you are better. It is okay to admit that you are better. But here's what's important. Humility in relation to other people is considering others more important than you are. Maybe you are better than them, but they should be more important than you. It doesn't matter their status in life. Maybe they are lower than you. Maybe they are less educated than you. But humility in relation to others means that you consider them more important than you are. Imagine with me, if everyone does this, all right? People think when they come to church, they're going to hear something spiritual and nothing practical. This is as practical as it comes. Let me tell you. Imagine if every husband thinks of his wife more important than they are. Imagine if every child, every boss, every pastor, every leader, every government official, every citizen, every young person, imagine if everyone thinks of other people as more important than they are. How much different will our world be, right? And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul says. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You may be better than them, but you need to learn. All of us need to learn to value other people ahead of ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Now, this is the hallmark of Christianity. Think about this, right? And who models this the best for us? Jesus. He modeled this the best for us. And that's why Paul said in the following verses, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What attitude? Even though he was God. I don't know if you realize this, for those of you who are new to Christianity, Jesus was not only a wonderful teacher, he was not only a prophet, but do you know that Jesus was God in the flesh? The Bible says nothing has ever been created without him. He was right there from the very beginning. Jesus, all this universe that you see, all the people that you see around you, every one of us has been created by him and through him. He was God in the flesh. But look at the attitude that he had, even though he was God. Even though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Can you imagine how difficult that must be for God to to give up his divine privileges. You know, all the angels in heaven, they worship him. But almost everybody on earth rejected him. He could have said something. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Even died the cruelest death of all. Death reserved only for the vilest, worst criminals at the time. Death on the cross. Why did he do it? That was crazy. He did it for you. He did it for me. Because he considers us more important than himself. He could have stayed and enjoyed heaven. But he didn't. For your sake and for my sake. That's why Paul says our attitude, if we claim to be his followers, needs to be like Jesus. If Jesus were to live his life through you, how would he treat your wife? If Jesus were to live his life through you, what would he say on social media? Nowadays, you know, with the... I'm not saying that you should not have a voice. Everybody should have a voice. But can we do it in a way that is honoring to others? Can we do it in a way that is putting others as more important than we are? Can we stop calling people names just because they don't agree with us? Can we do that? You know, the Jesus that people see today through the Christians it's not the Jesus. I was there 2,000 years ago. If only we follow him better by humbling ourselves and consider other people more important than we are. I'm telling you, the church landscape, the city landscape, the country landscape will be totally, totally different. John Dixon, in his book Humilitas, says this: humility is the noble choice to forego your status, deploy your resources, or use your influence for the good of others before yourself. That's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if you know this guy, but his name is Jose Mujica. Up until recently, until 2015, he was the president of Uruguay. And he was known as the most humble head of state that has ever lived. That car, that is his presidential car. Do you know that? It's funny, if you Google him, you would see like guards will be standing alongside his beat-up VW bug. And that's his only car. He earned $12,000 a month, and he gave 90% of his income away to help the poor. And he has been offered, I was reading, he has been offered $1 million for that car because of what the car represents. And he said, if somebody would want to buy my car, I'm not precious, and the car is not precious to me. I'll take the $1 million and I give it to the poor, to those who need it. That's why he's such an amazing leader. You know, it's inspiring when you see people who think of other people as more important than they are. So that's the second dimension of humility. But as a follower of Jesus, I believe there's a third dimension to spirituality. And we want to close with this. It is great if you don't think of yourself better than you are. That's wonderful. That's a good place to start. And it is great if you are able to think of other people as more important than you are. That's awesome. But this third dimension is what some people struggle the most. It is humility as seen in our relationship with God. In relation to God, humility is trusting all our worries to God. Peter wrote these amazing verses in our New Testament Bible. He says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Now, in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we find one of the most comforting verses in the whole Bible. "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." You don't have to be a Christian to know that life in this world is filled with suffering, with injustice, with pain, with unfairness. And pretty soon we realize that this world that we live in is a broken world. So it is super, super comforting for us to be able to know that we can cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. That's why this verse, 1 Peter 5:7, has been one of the favorite verses for many Christians. But as I studied these two verses, I discovered that verse 7 does not even form a complete sentence. Okay? I'm going to go geeky a little bit on you here. In the original language, the word cast, which is a command in our English language, but in the original language, the word cast is not an imperative. It's not a command. It is actually a participle. See, in our English translation, in the NIV translation, it seems like we have two different commands. Humble yourself and cast all your anxiety on Him. But in the Greek, there's only one command. So it should read this way. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Maybe you scratch your head and you think, what's the difference? It's the same to me, you know, imperative, participle, it's all the same to me. No, it's very different. Let me tell you how it's different. Instead of having two unrelated, separate commands, what we have here is just one command with one specific way to do it. The command is to humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And the way to do it is by casting your cares on Him because He cares for you. It's very different, isn't it? Humility, when it comes to our relationship with God, is admitting that we are frail after all. We don't have all the answers to life. We don't know everything. And it's okay. Humility, when it comes to our relationship with God, is admitting and realizing that we live in a broken world where pain is part of life, where injustice is part of life, unfortunately, and we don't even have the right answers to a lot of the questions that we have. But humility, when it comes to our relationship with God, is us saying to God, God, we are not God. You are God. We don't know everything. In fact, we know very little, no matter how smart we are. So God, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my pain. I'm going to trust you with my lack of understanding. I'm going to trust you with my lack of faith. I'm going to trust you with my future that I don't even know. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to cast all my anxiety, all my cares on you. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to do this. So that's what humility means. And the opposite is true as well. If you don't admit your frailty as human beings, if you don't admit your profound neediness before God, at the heart, that's idolatry, isn't it? At the heart is you saying to God, God, I don't need you in my life. I can do this by myself. God, that's all right. I can do this. No. You may be humble by not thinking of yourself better than you should. You may be humble in treating others as more important than you are. But my question to you this morning is, are you humble before God? Can you admit that you don't know everything? Can you admit that it is okay for you to not have all the answers, but for you to know that God cares for you? That in due time, He will lift you up. That God understands. He understands your pain. He understands your suffering. He understands everything. And it's okay for you to come before Him with all of that and more. That, my friend, is true humility. This morning, I know some of you come to this church. Maybe you're giving it the last shot. Maybe you're about to give up on your relationship. Maybe you're about to give up on God. Maybe you're about to give up on church. Maybe you're about to give up on your marriage. Maybe you're about to give up on your child. Maybe you're about to give up on whatever it is that you're about to give up because you can't understand. It's just too painful. It's just too difficult. Can I encourage you this morning? to humble yourself before God, can I encourage you to just come before God and say to God, God, I don't know what's going on, but I want to humble myself before you. I want to admit to you my weakness, my lack of knowledge, understanding. I want to bring you my pain. I want to bring you all of this, knowing that you care for me. When you do that, then you understand what a lot of people in this world don't understand. They still try to figure things out. At least we know in humility that we are not God, and it is okay. It is okay. You know why? Because we have a God who knows everything. We have a God who not only knows everything, but a God who cares for you and cares for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.